I did check the batteries.
Uh-huh.
They work. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Vadim. I will I'll let him off the hook there. I actually wrote that stuck with Pastor Tom thing on his notes. So well, he made the nice connection though. They're stuck in New York and you're stuck with me. But so I think most of you know, excuse me while I keep getting that steady. There we go. I think most of you knew that we were expecting to see Pastor Chris and his wife Carol this morning, and it was a little bit of a disappointment, but I didn't want to see them trying to drive through that. The storm for them came into Saturday, so basically when they were supposed to be leaving would have been that. So we'll definitely get to see them again, you know, later in the year, and we'll look forward to that as he continues to give, they continue to give leadership to Elam Fellowship overall. And for those of you who don't know, Elam Fellowship is the organizing, I'll say, body or fellowship that we're affiliated with. They are just a great partner and support. They're not a denomination per se, but they're there for us when we need counsel, when we need other things. There's different programs and stuff that they'll put on that we then get to benefit from, whether it be the annual conference or other things. Laura and I just completed 3 years of training where we went up 3 times a year for some different programs and things that they were putting on. So we're honored to be part of them and a part of their affiliation, and they're good people. So you'll continue to see, whether it's Chris Ball or Joe Jansen or Phil Underwood or John Young, some of the different people that come through here and minister at different times. So they'll be here at other times this year. So look forward to seeing them as well. I had gave myself a quick note here. Barb, Wednesday night. Look at Barb's arm. Right, if you were at church on Wednesday, right? He still heals. He still heals. Our prayer was, you know, he made our bodies to heal, so we're praying, just accelerate it. Like, make it happen now. Wouldn't that be great? Just make it happen. To him, time is indifferent, right? So just speed it up for our sake. So praise God, Barb. Thank you for sharing that. And this is our first service of the year of 2018. And God is up to good stuff, and we get to participate. But before I really get into this morning's message, I'd be amiss if I didn't reflect a little bit, because today is actually the 4-year anniversary of Pastor Charles's homegoing. I know quite a few of you do know that, and Pastor Don is here, as well as Chuck and Mary Ann and other family members. I know we have a few visitors this morning, so it's a good time to, for one, we're going to pray. You know, pray as I get ready to open the Word, but pray in general for what God's done here. And it was the call that Pastor Donna and Pastor Charles answered that started this fellowship. And it's not that there's not a lot of other, you know, good things or good ministries, and over time other great things have happened and God's doing a good work, but they were obedient to what God was telling them to do. And they came here, and if you go over in the fellowship hall, there's an apple tree in the corner of the foyer area, and there's an apple on the plaque. An apple tree on the plaque, because one of the primary visions that drove them to start this work was that there's a beautiful apple tree, but then there's also the fruit that falls to the ground that's often discarded or bruised. And the call was to pick up some of that fruit and to, you know, breathe life into that fruit. And so that's what we continue to do. And so for all of us to have walked through what we did 4 years ago, it's nothing compared to Pastor Donna and the family. But we're literally, you know, standing on their shoulders and continuing to seek God for what he has to do here, knowing that they literally committed their entire lives you know, to just loving whoever God brought in, right? The doors are open, so anybody can come in and love them where they're at. And some of our at is more complicated than other people's at, but, you know, we do. We just love each other, and it's this opportunity that we have to let God use us, to let God, you know, minister to us. We turn around and then minister to somebody else with the way that we've been comforted, and it's been a glorious thing. You know, we don't know and understand God's timing in this. You know, it is what it is, as many things that are the secret things of the Lord that Deuteronomy 29:29 verse says, but we trust him. And we all, as you walk with the Lord long enough, will get to these places where you're like, I don't get it, right? And you want to ask why, and you want an answer to why. But that's where we at some point have to sit back and rest that he is God and we're not. Amen. So I see Pastor Donna back there. Do you want to stay back there? Do you want to, we're going to pray for the family and all you guys, and just continue to pray God's blessing. They're soon expecting what would be Pastor Charles's great-granddaughter, as Gianna's over there in the tail end of her pregnancy. I told her, I go, I had to check Facebook. I'm like, did I miss it? Because I'm thinking it's happening any minute now, you know, that she's going to have this child. But if you'll all... yes, we will pray for you. Yep. So let's pray together, Pastor Dave. Yeah. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just continue to declare, you are God. Jesus, you are Lord of all. We trust you. We trust you. We rest in you. And Lord, we thank you that you have made sure that your testimony has gone on generation after generation. You've continued to call people. You've continued to reveal who you are. And to our amazement, you love us. What's man that you're mindful of him? And yet you have been mindful of us. So Father, as we remember, you know, where we've come from, even here, and the roots and the foundation that was laid by Pastor Donna and Pastor Charles, we're on this, the anniversary of the day you called them home. God, we pray your continued grace. Yes. We pray that, as Pastor Donna would say in her devotionals, that our church would grow in grace and love. Grace and love. That's what we want to grow in, Lord. If you see fit to bring more numbers, so be it. But grace and love, Lord, would abound in this place to your glory. And Father, as I stand here with Pastor Donna, we pray that your healing would flow into her body. Yes, Lord. Lord, we heard the testimony of what you did for Barb, even just Wednesday, and you're not a respecter of persons. Lord, for what you've done for one, you will do, and you do for more. And Lord, you made our bodies to heal, so we pray again and ask, because of all that Jesus has gone through and done for us, that you would accelerate the healing into, yes, Pastor Donna's back, yes, even now. Even now, Lord, Lord, make her well, make her strong. Continue, Lord, to use her. Continue to bless her and her family, Chuck and Barbie and Victoria, Mary Ann, Gianna, and Amelia, Lord. Lord, as we await her arrival, we trust that it'll be another glorious day to celebrate what you do. As we celebrate even today, Lord, even with a little bit of sadness on our hearts, we do celebrate that you are God, you are life, you are eternal life, and we are forever grateful, and we will continue to surrender our days to you, Lord. What else could we do in view of your mercy but to present ourselves as these living sacrifices? So thank you, God. Continue to bless this place to your glory only, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you for your... Amen. Okay, well, as I mentioned, today is our first service in 2018, and after several weeks of some standalone messages, I'm going to move us back into a particular study in God's Word, so I hope you're excited for that. It'll be good, I'm sure, because God's Word is God's Word. And I don't say it's going to be good because I'm all excited about the presenter. But I will say that, you know, my objective is to open God's Word and let it out. expound what he tells me to expound, highlight what he shows me to highlight. Even as I get up here to start, you know, I want, like, hey, don't have anything come out of my mouth that shouldn't. And if there's stuff I haven't even thought of, but it's from you, you know, let it be, because that's where life is. We have his written word, and as we allow his Holy Spirit to minister it to us, it becomes living word for us. So we will do that, and we're going to make our way through this next book, Should Jesus Tarry? I feel like I always have to send that qualifier out there, right? Even when we do the birthday thing. Hey, you might have a birthday coming up this week if he doesn't come back, right? If he comes back, that's okay. It's okay. But as I've continued to seek the Lord, even on, I'll say, the what and the how, I really had some confirmation that I am to continue in this more, I'll say, a systematic study of God's word, where we do some chapter and verse and study a whole book cover to cover and make our way through the scriptures. And if he tarries, we'll work our way through the whole book, and then we'll start again, you know, and just keep going as he takes that word, makes it living, and washes us with it, right? Teaches us how to think, shows us what's right. He's revealed himself, and his image is in Christ, yet he's also given us this written word that his Holy Spirit opens up to us and teaches us, because that's what we want, right? It's great when you've got a teacher or a preacher who can facilitate that in happening, but I want each of you, more than anything, to connect with God, right? So when you're hearing something that's true, when it resonates in your spirit, you're like, amen. Amen, that's right and true. And it's the Holy Spirit that will do that. And that's why we invite him. And we want him, you know, welcome and active here, you know, continually. He promised, right? Jesus said it was good that he went, because when the Holy Spirit came for us, he would lead us into all truth. So that's what we walk on. And I like the rest of you. I enjoy topical series. You know, I say I enjoy them. I use them sometimes. We Wednesdays. There's different times that we may come on something, or we'll do something with men or something with women where it's more topical. And I've considered, and I've said, you know, Lord, should we be doing something like that here in church? A lot of churches do, and that's God's leading for them. And like I said, I'm appreciative, and I glean off them very often. You know, I listen to a different series, or like I said, we may use it here. But I've just continued and felt confirmation that that though, you know, studying systematically a particular book, some may say, hey, are you stifling God's leading? You're like, where's God leading you today? I have to say, this book's alive. It's alive. And if you've been walking with the Lord for any period of time, I'm trusting that when you get alone with him, you're amazed at how something you may have read 50 times or 2 times, you see it or hear it in a totally different way, because God's Spirit is making it alive to you. So my kind of coming into this way of doing things just got confirmed as I had to make a decision. You know, Lord, hey, is there a series of something that we should do or whatnot? And I knew there were several, I'll say, standalone or maybe 1 or 2 week messages that we've done over the last several weeks. But I really appreciate and feel called to continue this way of studying, especially in light of the times that we live. I know that there's a lot of things going on, and there's always a new way of looking at things, and we can get into all kinds of different things there. But there's a security and blessing in knowing that God has given us all we need in Christ. And he's made that revelation through his scripture. He continues to make it through his Holy Spirit through us, but it's never going to be anything that's outside of what's in this book. So this is what we use to be our guideline. And I want to read to you a portion out of 2 Timothy that particularly struck me as I was praying and getting ready for this. Use my glasses. This is out of 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, and this is Paul talking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Continuing into chapter 4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And this is the verse that strikes me the most. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. It's those words that move me back into saying, you know what, I appreciate, I know it's God's leading for others, but it's what moves me back into studying a particular book in the scriptures and letting whatever the topics that come up as we work our way through that, know that that'll help us to be complete. We can't skip things over and say, yeah, I don't really want to talk about that because I'm not sure about that. We have to wrestle and ask God to help us to understand. So my objective and goal is to keep us from, one, just doing things that tickle our ears, and two, to not get away from the whole of God's counsel. So I'm not saying this to you as I got to pitch it to you, because if God told it to me and he's got me leading right now, this is what's going to happen. Okay, so I'm not saying it's saying, hey, let me take a vote on what you guys want. If I did that week in and week out, we'd be like the waves of the ocean, tossed to and fro. So our objective here is that you would, you know, be rooted and grounded, and that the fruit that God actually created you to bear would start to happen. Right? That it would happen. And it wouldn't happen because you're like forcing fruit. You know, you're abiding in him, and that fruit just comes. And it just comes. And we're all the blessed. We're blessed here. The body of the Lord is blessed as a whole, as you then live that out wherever he's called you to be. And in our body, it's a great thing to enjoy with each other. So if you have your Bibles, you can either turn them if you got paper. You can turn them on if you need to. You can click. You can open them. You can swipe to whatever you need to. But we are going to study the book of John, the Gospel of John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. It's after Luke and before Acts. And as I said, since we're going to make our way through here, you may as well leave one of your markers in there, one of your Bible, you know, markery cord things. So there's probably some special name for them. But we are going to study John's gospel, or his account as being who he was with the Lord. So John, the Apostle John, he's one of the 12 disciples, right? We know that. He was one of the three that was often in places with Jesus that others weren't. He's the one that's referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved, right? Or the beloved disciple. Now, doesn't that like strike you as like, well, what's up with the other 11? You're like, why does he get to make that reference to himself? You know, it does kind of have this connotation that like, you know, well, okay, you're the beloved one. Like, why are you so special? Well, we're going to possibly find out in these weeks ahead. Maybe Jesus had a favorite, and everybody knew it was John. Right? We assume that Jesus says, no, I love you all the same. Maybe at one point he says, you're my favorite. And then everybody knew it. So then he could just say, hey, I'm the beloved. I'm the one beloved of the Lord. Now, if you're a parent of more than one child, right, you tell your kids, I love you the same. Right? And if you're like my mom, she goes to incredible pain to make sure that everything is equal, right? In thirds. So there's three brothers. You know, so if you're like that and you're trying to make all your kids say that they are, you know, equally loved, and you show it like, you know, to the penny on Christmas gifts, you know, okay, it might look like his pile's bigger, but dollar-wise, it's the same. I spent the same on all of you, right? They say that every parent does have a favorite child. If you have to ask, it's not you. Okay? So, one of the things I did learn in my study that perhaps plays into John being the beloved was that he was the youngest disciple. There's some that think he may have even been as young as 17. So now you think about Jesus being 30, right, and these other disciples that are being gathered, the fishermen and other folks, tax collectors, people who were, you know, at different ages, and there's a 17-year-old in the group. So maybe he did have a special place. Maybe they didn't mind saying, oh, yeah, he's favorite. He's the baby. Right? We all have a baby in the family. We tell you stories about the baby in our family, right? The things that they get to get away with, the things that they get to experience. So maybe in some ways, you know, John was the baby in the group. And maybe everybody was cool with the fact that he got to nuzzle up against Jesus and lean on him during the Last Supper. Right? I never really thought of it from that perspective. I'd never really heard that before. It never caught my attention in any of my previous study. But it definitely, you know, makes sense. I'm like, okay, so maybe that's part of why they did that. But John definitely is unique in a lot of ways. He has a very unique humility that we're going to see in the weeks ahead. And even in his account of the calling of the disciples, he doesn't even mention himself or his brother James. And I found myself looking at the beginning of John, as well as some of the other Gospels, as I'm comparing them and looking at some of the things, and looking at how John was called, I found myself saying, whatever happened to Andrew? Right? In the other Gospel accounts, right, outside of John, we read about how Andrew and his brother Peter, right, were called by the Lord around the same time, but Andrew actually found Jesus first and introduced Peter to Jesus. And then at another point when Jesus is teaching is when he's in Peter's boat, and that's when he says, hey, I want you guys to follow me. And they go down the dock a little bit, and there's John and James. He says, hey, you too, come on, we're going somewhere. And I realized that I saw Andrew, I'm like, because it's Peter, James, and John. But Andrew is Peter's brother. And I'm like, where's Andrew? So you take out a concordance. You're like, where's Andrew? And start flipping through. Acts 1:13 is the last time we see him. And he was just being named with the other disciples who were there at the upper room. And he was there. I'm like, what happened to Andrew? So maybe I'll do a series. Where's Andrew? And then I realized I got no scripture to go on. It's my itching ears saying, let me go follow that one. This should be interesting. But anyway, if you know where Andrew went, let me know. He's with Waldo somewhere. I don't know. He made it to the end, though, right? He's one of the disciples. He was there. So who knows all the things that he experienced. And I said, just caught my attention because James, John, and Peter, James, and John get named as that trio. And I'm like, Andrew was Peter's brother, and he wasn't in for all this stuff. Not the extra stuff. He was there with the 12. So this is the way my brain goes when I'm studying sometimes, and you get it. So anyway, back to John and his gospel account. His gospel is distinctly different from the other gospel accounts. The other three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, collectively they're referred to as the synoptic gospels. And the word synoptic, if you just break it down a little bit, syn, S-Y-N, like a synonym being the same, and optic, how you see. Those three Gospels have a similar perspective, or the way that they, in general, are referring to the time of Jesus and their experience. They all wrote with a different intent and a different audience, whether it be Matthew's Jewish audience, or Luke providing an orderly account, or Mark potentially to a Roman audience. And there's nuances in what they wrote and things that they highlighted that would then be important to their audience. But John's account is very different. And though the other three had some similarities in the way that they did that, John didn't. And for one, his gospel account was written last. Pretty commonly agreed upon that it was written after the other accounts, and that it may have been written actually somewhere between 65 and 90 AD. Most thinking it came at least after the fall of Jerusalem, which was in AD 70. But it's believed that John either wrote this when he returned from Patmos, which some believe he did, but he wrote it while he was in Ephesus, either before he went to Patmos. Some believe that he passed on Patmos. Some believe that he came back. But he did live a long life, and that leads to, you know, a verse that we'll see at one point in our study about the reference that Jesus made to how long John might be there. But he seems to have been the earliest and youngest disciple, and at the same time lived the longest, and is the only one that actually died from what we think of being natural causes. And you know, John, as he was, it seems that he was asked to write a gospel account. And he did that because there was a concern over what was going on, and I'll come to that in a minute. But John actually tells us why he wrote this gospel. And it's near the end of the book. It's in John 20, and it's verses 30 and 31, where he says, "Now Jesus did many signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Okay? That's why John wrote this book, that you and I would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we might have life in his name. I titled today's message, My God-Given Right. And depending on time, I may or may not get to that part. But we'll that's what next week's for, right? But we're going to see as we open John's book here, he wrote this with his intent for the readers to believe and receive the eternal life that God wants to give them. It's why we're often telling someone who's new to the faith, hey, read the Gospel of John. It's a great place to start. Right? It's a great place to start, but it's a heavy book too. Right? There's stuff that John wrote that nobody else put in there. Right, he's got Jesus' 7 I am statements. You know, I am the life. I am the bread. So we'll look at those as they come up. So it may be a book that on the surface can help lead us to the most important decision that we could ever make in our faith. Yet there's also a lot of great spiritually deep things that are here, and we'll definitely get to those as we go. John also wrote the epistles known as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as the book of Revelation. So he is clearly someone who's been inspired by God, led by, used by God, and it's to our benefit that we have an account of his accounting of the gospel. As I started to mention, it's believed that his intent, besides what he stated, was that the response to some of the elders in Asia, because there are quite a few heretical teachings and things that were anti-Christ that were starting to sprout up in the decades after Jesus resurrected, and now the church is starting to propagate. And there were different people there, and as you read the scriptures, you hear Paul say things like, if anybody preaches another Jesus, you know, or, you know, there are people who are out there who are just interested in controversies, and all they want to do is stir people up. And there's other people that are out there that are just trying to, you know, make themselves rich off of the gospel. And so there were all these warnings out there, and there was a particular Jewish teacher. His name was, did I have it here? I thought I had his name. Cerinthus. Who had this personal slant in teaching, and he was very persuasive, and he had quite a few people believing that this Christ spirit, this is something that's taught even some of the cults today, that the Christ spirit came on Jesus at his baptism, and it left after his resurrection, and you know, that he wasn't really the person that he is, being God incarnate. So I realize I told you a little bit ago to open your Bibles, but let's get into John a little bit. To begin with, and I know that as God continues to open the scriptures to us and give us wisdom here, we're going to be richly fed, because we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So I realize I told you to open John. That doesn't mean I did. So I am going to start by reading the first few verses in John. John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's God's Word. There's some obvious and intentional parallels between this and Genesis 1, right? Genesis 1:1 starts out with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When John says, in the beginning here was the Word, he's referring before there was the created earth that we know of. And he's inserting here right in the outset that that Jesus, you know, was God and is God. So he was with God, you know, in the beginning. I think I'm going to have to leave my glasses on. John is actually helping us to understand that before anything was made, Jesus already was. He already was. And it's a difficult concept for us to kind of wrap our minds around eternity past. You know, how can eternity go on previously forever and yet go on infinitely forever moving forward? These are difficult concepts, but John is making it clear right now that when there was nothing that we currently know, Jesus was. He was. He is. He is to come. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. So right here in the beginning, as John tells us that, you know, about the Word, and he's going to obviously tell us that the Word is Jesus shortly, but he clarifies that he was with God. And this is, it's interesting to try to understand the Trinity, but to know God being perfect love, right, was perfect love within himself. It's not narcissistic for God to love himself, but he's a perfect being. And his Word, Jesus being his Word, is the essence of who he is. And when John uses the word Word here, it's the word logos. It was popular at the time that Greek philosophers, you know, exalted logos. They felt that this is human reason, and this is a part of how you understood what life was about. And it was a part of their teachings of the day that, you know, as you understood what the logos was, you know, you'd then be enlightened. And so John comes here and says, the logos, right, the Word, you know, the mind of God has actually existed eternally, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus, and he's going to make that claim repeatedly through here. And when he says that all things were made through him, not anything that was made was not made through him, period. So that says if Jesus was forever, okay, he's not a created being, as some of the cults might teach. Okay? He has been eternal. So God didn't create Jesus. I realize I guess it was the day before Christmas, played the song Michael Card. And I like the way he references that, saying that Jesus, God's final word was Jesus. He needed no other one. He spoke the incarnation and so was born a son. And that lyric goes, I don't want anyone to think that I was saying that when God spoke Jesus, that's when Jesus first came to be. Jesus has always been. He has always been. And it becomes critically important, and we're going to see that multiple times here, you know, as we move on through the scripture. But in him was life. And there's other scriptures, and I don't want to get us off on two tangents, but there's other scriptures that talk about how much, you know, God created all things through him, whether in Colossians or in Hebrews, some strong references there where all of creation was made through Jesus. So in him was life, and this life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Where there is darkness, the only thing that expels darkness is light. We're here in a time when we can feel and sense darkness. And yet into us, God has put his Son. And we're told here, this is the light and life of men. Now, if you go into any dark room and turn on a light, darkness literally expels. You can't do the opposite. You can't have light and try to bring darkness in. Right? Because light continues to propel the darkness. The only time that darkness gets to grow is when light is absent. That's when dark can grow. So we're called, right now, to be light. Right? We are like him. Okay? We are not the light. Okay? And John is going to make that reference. John the Baptist is going to make that reference shortly. But darkness cannot overcome it. Right? The Lord said, the gates of hell will not prevail. Somehow, in all that's going on, God knows. God's in control. Our prayer that Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. So this is the beginning of that process as God has made himself known. All right, let me read a little bit more for us. Verse 6. The man sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness, about the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So an obvious reference there to John the Baptist. The true light enlightens everyone coming into the world. He's in the world, and the world made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own people. And his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. But of God. Your God-given right is to be his child. You have to receive and believe, and we'll close that in a moment. So Jesus came into the world. And last 2 weeks ago, we looked at the portion after, and that's what really firmed up for that. I wanted to go into John about the Word becoming flesh, and had that talk, like I said, 2 weeks ago. Next week, we'll just summarize that. But Here, it tells us that though the world was made through him, it didn't know him. He came to his own, right? We just read, he created the world. So he came to what he created. It's his own. And his own people did not receive him. So here, you know, the creator, God, as a human being, coming and literally being rejected. I can go like this, say, how? And all I have to do is like think back years and go, well, that's what you did for the first almost 20 years of your life. I knew the gospel. I went like this. Later, maybe. I'm telling God, no, I want to live this way right now. I know that that's probably right and true, and I should be. But for the grace of God, right? But for the grace of God, we have all resisted and even rejected what Christ is trying to do and what God is trying to do, you know, for us. And it's for this reason that John says, I want to write this book. You're going to see in this book the word believe almost 100 times. If you look at how many times you see believe, if you come across it, that's John's intent. His desire is that not. And so it's where we say, I have a right. But it's hard to say, I know me. I feel like I don't have anything. And you know what? True. Right? The burden of your sinning. I don't want the story to end. I love that to be where this ends. So instead, believe I am dead. And this right, my child. That's how I feel. I'm like, what do you want, need, and to be as a right? You hear people these, I want to make sure what do I deserve? Here's what we're always exerting ourselves, hold on or stepped on, you know, people and things. And yet he's the only thing, and that is to be a child of God. It's amazing to study this and believe in. For one, John is a noun, so it's not them. You run on, oh yeah, I believe in. To them, it's a something. It's somehow separate. Believe is a verb, so it's something that continuing how you live. Cognitively, that sounds really good. That prayer, I get a deal. Again, right? You're right there. That's why I love tax collectors' prayer. Circles for a while. You hear about that. I like the tax collector. Merciful to Christ, and unfolding as for us in this, excited for it and ready for a new year. You know, in Christ, live every day. Do that on your own. You need to say, you know what? I need circles for a while. I think I need to make this more to get real. I'll stand before God. And the only thing, right? Before that, Jesus say, he's my one Father. He's my blessed away. He's perfect. He never sinned. He chooses. He could refuse to remember not. Choose faithfulness. East is from his. And then Jesus says, I got him covered. So here on the right side. You know, right? It's beautiful. Don't let a new year, hopefully you're still making resolutions, spiritual or other. Some spiritual resolution. I got to spend and do something different in your 1 days to your schedule. If you're skipping, and making one meal, using as much time. But that you can have. Amen. This is my encouragement. If you want to and pray, our good. Really is understand infinite patience. Say thank you, not slow, but ye should perish. If there's anyone here, voice this morning, Jesus, Lord, be Lord. Father, if there's any, Lord, may you even write in their hearts that they today choose each day. And I thank you that you never forsake us. You've begun in us. So Lord, we take heed of all sin to work out this center, watching you, do we surrender this year? Lead, protect all that we need. Father, the blessing that is. May God keep you on you, bring you peace. Amen. If you have a prayer, receive the Lord. I want one of us to pray for you. I'm making fellowship on you. I'd love to, but I pray that you follow his leading.